So, good morning, everyone. How's the hangovers? I didn't expect any cheers of that, so. Okay, this session, the first session in the morning, which is a great time slot to present, I can tell you, especially if you have the marquee party yesterday. This session is going to be about fun with ASP.NET MVC, MEF, and NuGet. The last one is not in the session title that's printed in any document related to MIX. But that's only because of when I submitted the talk, NuGet wasn't there. But NuGet fits perfectly in this picture. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to build an application just like you would build a Lego set. So just creating lots of bricks, lots of different components, and combining them all together, and have MEF wire them up together in one application. So my name is Maarten Baljouw. I'm from Belgium. And for those of you who are in this room, a few minutes ago, you could see my clock. It's like 6 p.m. where I'm from. I work for a company, Real Dolmen, and I focus on web development. So everything related to ASP.NET Web Forms, ASP.NET MVC, jQuery, JavaScript, PHP, and Windows Azure, that's what I'm doing in my day-to-day job. I'm also an MVP ASP.NET, and I try to blog regularly on all of these topics on my blog listed over there. And if you want to know everything about my coffee abuse, just follow me on Twitter. So, the agenda for today. First of all, I'm not aware if everyone is familiar with all the technologies I mentioned in the title of this slide deck, so I'm going to give you a quick overview of what's new in ASP.NET MVC 3. What's the Managed Extensibility Framework, or MEF? By the way, who knows MEF? Okay, a lot of you, but a lot of you don't, so I'm going to explain that one. And then I'll dive into NuGet, not too deep, because the session after this, given by Scott Hanselman and Phil Hack, will be NuGet in depth, so everything that I don't cover, they will probably cover it. After that, we'll create some application components, so the Lego bricks for my final application. And then I'm going to build the application with the bricks I have created during the rest of the talk. By the way, this is not a best practice. It's not something you should do. It's just something we tested at a customer of ours and has proven to work there. But it may work for you, it may not work for you. So don't pin me if you think it's a best practice, because it isn't. So, first of all, ASP.NET MVC 3. Who's familiar with ASP.NET, by the way? MVC? Okay, most of you. All the new stuff in MVC 3. Lots of interesting new stuff, a new view engine, Razor, global action filters where you could just register an action filter, for example, handle error attributes during application startup, really interesting. A lot of new client-side enhancements, so unobtrusive Ajax and JavaScript validation, and better Visual Studio tooling, especially with the new tooling released, well, yesterday. It's really interesting to build MVC applications. But something really interesting in MVC 3 is the better support for dependency injection. So the fact that every time ASP.NET MVC needs a component, it will ask your dependency resolver if you can provide it with that component. If you don't, it will use the defaults. If you want to override something, you can inject your own there. Who's familiar with dependency injection? Okay, not everyone. Basically, if you look at it in its simplest form, dependency injection is something you all do. So this is me developing code. I regularly do it like that. Imagine you're building a component named part A, some class, and part A requires part B. So you have a dependency on another object in part A, the object. So what you do is part A will say, I need part B. B, the constructor, so where you would provide part B to part A in the constructor, or B, the property, just part A needs this one. What you usually do as a developer, you say, OK, coming up, and you do something like this. So what you do is you just create a new part A, and you provide it with the second part. So this is really dependency injection in its most simple form, and something you probably do daily in your jobs. Now, there's a lot of dependency injection containers out there. There's Autofag, there's Unity, there's MEF, there's Ninject, there's a bunch of others. And they'll work, well, for you. So you're not really in charge of providing the part B to part A. The injection container will take care of that. So if you have part A, and part A again needs part B to be available, it will ask the container, do you have part B for me? And then the container will look up all the components that it knows, either because it's registered in the container, either because the container has discovered everything. But it will look for part B and provide it to part A. So basically, it takes the injection of dependencies out of hands and provides it to the objects that you're using in your application. So how does this fit into ASP.NET MVC 3? Well, ASP.NET MVC 3 featured this new feature, the dependency resolver. So every time MVC 3 needs an object, it will contact the dependency resolver, which is a static object inside ASP.NET MVC 3, and it will ask the dependency resolver for the object it requires. And every dependency resolver is something that implements iDependency resolver, so a simple interface which has two methods, getService and getServices. So for example, when you use the most simple 101 MVC application inside Visual Studio, you require your home controller. What will happen is MVC 3 will question your dependency resolver for, give me the service named home controller. And your dependency resolver can give the home controller and eventually even inject different objects inside that home controller and provide it to your application. You can register it on application start. You should just do it once. And once that's done, ASP.NET MVC 3 will come to your dependency resolver for anything you're trying to do. So let's build a really simple dependency resolver right after this one. If you're using dependency injection in MVC 3, these are all the hooks that you can use. So every time a controller is created, every time a view engine is looked up or a view is looked up, every time a filter requires dependency injection, those are all components where you can inject your own objects in there. So if you require some web service to be available inside an action filter, you can just use the dependency resolver to inject it in there and have your application use that service. If you're really interested in the subject, Brett Wilson created a huge blog post series of how you can do dependency injection in your application. So really recommend reading this one. It's a 10 or 11 part series with all these components explained how you can do it in there. Okay, so let's build a simple dependency injection, simple iDependency resolver. So in my Visual Studio, I will create a new ASP.NET MVC 3 web application, just as you would do normally. There we go. Just a simple internet application with all the default templates in there. So I have a home controller, I have an account controller, all the views in there, and the Razor view engine. And once that's done, by the way, I installed a new tooling, and it seems that the MVC 3 tooling is now using NuGet to install jQuery and Modernizer and all this stuff in your application. So it takes a little bit longer to create a new blank application because it's downloading all these components through NuGet and installing them. So let's create our dependency resolver. First of all, what I'm going to do in my global.asx on application start, what I'm going to do is I'm going to register a dependency resolver. So what I will do is I'll tell ASP.NET's dependency resolver, use a resolver, which will be my new simple dependency resolver. Just that easy. Now one thing is left. It should implement this class and provide dependencies to my application. But before I'm going to build this one, I'm going to my home controller. And let's say my home controller, by default, it shows you this nice message, welcome to ASP.NET MVC 3. Well, I'm going to make that string a dependency for my controller. So my home controller will not know this string, but I'm going to provide this string whenever a home controller is created. So what I'll do is I'll create a simple property in there. Type string, let's call it message. That's not the correct spelling. Okay, and what I'm going to do is when my index view is rendered, I'm going to give it the message. So, just like this. Very simple, but if I run this, my view will be empty. There will be no message in there. Why? Because I have a dependency of that message being available to my controller. So the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going back to my global.asx, and I'm going to implement this simple dependency resolver. So let's create a class for that. And we'll see that it implements iDependency resolver. And if I implement iDependency resolver, what I should do is implement two simple methods, if my Visual Studio would work with that, okay. get service and get services. So every time ASP.NET MVC requires something of you, it will call the get service or get services methods to give the objects ready and assembled. So what I should do is, if I want to have the message inside my home controller, in get service, I should create my home controller and apply the message to it and have that in my view. So for get services, I will be very cheap. And I will do it like this. So when more services are demanded, I will just give it an array of a call to get service. Very simple. Next thing I'm going to do is, I'm going to implement some defaults. Because ASP.NET MVC will also use the dependency resolver to to provide, for example, the default controller builder. So whenever a controller is built, the controller builder is doing that. But MVC will ask your dependency resolver to provide it with a controller builder. So what I'm doing here is I'm just saying if one of these default types are being asked, I'm returning the defaults as well, because MVC will come to my dependency resolver to implement this thing. So next thing I'm going to do, if my service type, the thing that MVC tree is asking to my dependency resolver, if that thing is type of home controller, there we go. I'm just going to provide it with a home controller. And I'm going to set the message on this home controller to good morning mix. There we go. And then I'll just return my home controller. So basically, this is what happens within ASP.NET MVC tree. Whenever a new object is being asked for, your dependency resolver will give it to MVC. So let's run this thing. Ah, there I see. Thanks. Okay, so let's run this, and what we expect is that the MVC tree view will say good morning mix. So let's wait for this thing to start up. There we go, good morning mix. So it's really simple to use dependency injection in ASP.NET MVC tree, as you can see. So I also said the managed extensibility framework would be a component of ASP.NET. Well, MEF is a very simple concept, and I always use this string, it's cool as ice, because you only need imports, compose, and exports, so cool as ice. And what that means is if you have your home controller, for example, just like we had in the demo, and your home controller requires an iLogger of something, you just put an import attribute before it. So what this will do is you basically tell MEF that your home controller requires an iLogger. Any iLogger available, just something that implements this interface. And I want to import it. Then my home controller will ask the MEF container to give it an implementation of the home controller. So my dependency resolver will give a controller builder, and this one will ask for an implementation of home controller. Now, MEF will see that the home controller requires an import of type iLogger, and it will also search its catalog for anything implementing this and saying, well, I'm exporting myself as a type of iLogger. So I have a console logger in there, and my console logger says, well, I'm an export of the type iLogger. And MEF, what it will do is compose everything together, make sure that every import request is met with an export request. So it's really simple. So what you can do if you want to use MEF in MVC tree is, well, you can build your own dependency resolver. Now, it's a bit of work because for all the points I had in there, you should make sure that your controller builder is available. You should make sure that your view engine is available, your global action filter catalog, stuff like that. So there's a lot of things you should take care of. But you can build it yourself, or you can use MEF Contrib, which is an addition to MEF, available on CodePlex. It's an open source project, and it has its own iDependency resolver implementation by default. Another nice thing in there is that it has a convention model. So on the previous slide, you saw that we had to decorate everything with import or export, and that you should meet everything in your application. Well, what you can do with MEFcontrib is you can use conventions. So what you can do, for example, is you can say, well, MEFcontrib, everything implementing iController should be exported as a controller. So you don't have to decorate every controller with an export attribute for using it. It's available in NuGet, so if you want to use this, you can just use Visual Studio, add a library package reference, and install mefcontrib. Or you can just download it from CodePlex. Okay, NuGet. Who's familiar with NuGet? Okay, a lot of you, but I don't think enough, because it's a really, really interesting concept. NuGet is basically a package manager. And what it does is it provides an application feed, a default application feed, where you can say, well, I want to use mefcontrib or in Hibernate or whatever. It will download it from this application feed, install it in the other application, and you can use it. But it's really interesting because typically when you start a new project for some customer, what you do is you create a new Visual Studio solution, add a project in there, and well, after that, you go to CodePlex, you download in Hibernate, you go to CodePlex, you download AutoMapper, you go to CodePlex, you download some EF code first sample that you want to use in your application, you go to CodePlex, and well, you catch my drift. What you can do with NuGet is just select it from a feed, install it, and NuGet will also resolve all dependencies. So if a certain package, for example, in Hibernate, requires Castle dependency injection, well, NuGet will make sure that for in Hibernate, also the other packages are downloaded. Also, a good thing is all these versions are kept up to date. So if you want to update something to a newer version, you can just say, well, update this package, and NuGet will update it for you. If it has new dependencies, it will also install them. If it has .NET framework dependencies, it will also, well, reference these dependencies in your application. So really interesting to use. It's free, it's open source, and it really speeds up your development a lot. But it's also interesting because, well, it uses a default feed of packages, but you can also create your own feed of packages. So let's say you built your own NuGet packages that you want to use in your corporate applications. What you can do is just create your own NuGet feed, point Visual Studio to use that feed, and well, download your own packages through NuGet like you would do with the public feed. So really interesting to use. So first of all, I'm going to show you how you can use mefcontrib through NuGet. Really, really easy. Oh, advanced too fast. So let's go back to Visual Studio, and let's again create a new project, a new MVC3 application, all the defaults. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do basically the same as in the previous demo, but not with a string this time. I'm going to inject a service into my controller. So what I'm going to do is my controller will receive a constructor, and the constructor will require a iHello service. And then I'm going to say this.service is that one. So let's generate an interface for that, implement a property. Okay, there we go. So basically what I'm doing now is telling that anyone who wants to use the home controller should provide it with a service called iHello service. Then for my message, what I will do is say this.service hello, and my service should provide it with a message. So let's also implement that one on my hello service. And of course, that should not be a class, but a public interface. Really, I can't type at this hour of the morning. And it will return a string. There we go. That's my interface implementation. My interface definition. Now I'm also going to add an implementation for that. So the mix hello service will implement iHello service. There we go. And what I'm going to do is just return hello mix. Simple like that. But how am I going to get this service inside of my home controller? Because if I now run this, MVC3 will give me a really, really ugly error saying it can't create my home controller because I don't have a parameterless constructor in there. MVC3 will try to create my home controller, but since it doesn't know what this iHello service is, it can't create my home controller and it will just break like this. So I'm going to use MEF to wire everything up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to my MVC application. I add a library reference. I'll search online. By the way, with the new tooling, you will see in the installed packages. Oh dear, not responding. Shouldn't have brought my laptop to the marquee yesterday. Okay. If you use the MVC3 tooling, the updated tooling that was announced 2 days ago, you will see that some default components of your project template are in fact NuGet packages. So you can see that, why is it reloading? So previously you could see that jQuery was in there, that Modernizer was in there, that EF Code First was in there. There you go. So these are all NuGet packages installed by default in every MVC project since the new tooling. But I'm going to search online on the NuGet official package source, and I'm going to search for MEF. And you will see there's MEF contrib MVC3. So let me start to zoom it. You will also see that this package, which I know the author very well, is something that has dependencies. So this package that's built especially for MVC3 requires it to install mefcontrib as well, and it also requires web activator, but I'll explain that one later. So what it will do is I'm just going to click install on this one, and it will download all the dependencies, add them to my project, and make sure everything is wired. So mefcontrib MVC3 is installed. And you will notice that my project now has two extra references, and it also has a reference to system.componentModel.composition, which is the namespace where MEF lives by default. Now, this package also contains an app start folder with a specific class, which will basically bootstrap my MVC3 application so that I don't have to specify that MVC3 should use the MEF dependency resolver, but basically the package provides code for that, so you don't have to worry about a thing there. So what I can do now is just say, well, I'm going to export my mix-hello service as something of type iHello service. There we go. And this should work. Just going to run it. There we go. So I didn't have to do a lot to get this working. And why is that? Well, I'm using MEF to resolve everything. So every time I ask this thing to provide me with an iHello service, MEF will automatically discover the mixHello service because it has this export attribute. Now, in theory, home controllers also require you to put an export on there. So basically what I should do in regular MEF is export this one as a type of, really can't type at this hour. So I should do this. Now, I don't have to explicitly do this. Why? Because the mefcontrib MVC3 package on NuGet has a convention-based model where I say, well, every controller in my application should be exported as a type of itself. So MEF will automatically discover this. So it's very easy to do. So mefcontrib MVC3 is an addition to mefcontrib. It adds some things to your project. So you've seen the app start folder where there's a class that's using the web activator package to just bootstrap on application startup everything like specifying which dependency resolver ASP.NET MVC3 should be using. It also provides a composition dependency resolver, and by default it will tell MEF to look for any export and any import definition in your application's bin folder. So it's really easy. You can basically just build your application and drop in your export assemblies in your bin folder, and MEF will pick them up and provide your controllers and anything that's using dependency injection there with the right packages or with the right classes. It also will export everything implementing iController by default and by convention. So you don't have to worry about putting an export attribute on top of that. So just wanted to show you, this is the MVC application registry, which is basically the convention model I'm providing in mefcontrib. Something similar to this will also ship with MEF2, there's previews of that one, but currently if you want to use something, well, stable, you can use this one, just use mefcontrib and I'll create your own conventions. This is a default one, which says, well, scan my executing assembly, scan my bin folder, and for every part, for every type assignable from my controller, make it a non-shared export, so a per request object. Export it as an iController, so whenever I ask MEF to give me all controllers in my project, I can also ask MEF to provide me with them. I also say export type, so export my home controller as a home controller, because otherwise I can't find that, I can't find my home controller inside my composition dependency resolver. And I'm also providing some imports, but that's really crazy code, so I'm not going to show that on my slide. But this all makes me think, and this is how I look when I think. If you can package components using NuGet, and imagine you can package your own company components. So imagine you're a company and you're building a lot of line of business applications within that company. Wouldn't it be interesting to just, well, package some default components like, let's say, an account controller or an authentication provider, a default company-wide team, something like that? Wouldn't it be interesting if you could just distribute all that in your own feed, so host it within your company and provide it to every developer that wants to use it? Interesting concepts. Why don't we use ASP.NET MVC 3 for that, and why don't we use MEF and MEF contrib like I showed you in the demos? By the way, I'm using MEF in these demos, but if you're a fan of Ninject or Autofac or whatever IOC container, you can just use that as well. So I'm not really pushing you towards using MEF. It's just a convenient one. So if we do all these steps, we just have a Lego application. We can just build our applications like you would build a Lego set, combine the bricks, and have something working at the end. So let's create some application components. Well, I actually pre-created some. So I have some authentication components, I have a domain component, and I have some teaming components. So let's open the teaming one. Because it's interesting, you would always think about NuGet as being something that could package assemblies. But you can also package just classes or CSS files or images or whatever you want to package inside this NuGet package in a NuGet package and distribute it as a package. So what you will see in here is a simple ASP.NET MVC 3 application, which basically provides me with a team. So if I run this, you will see that I have a nice default layout with a company logo. Didn't you get that memo? It's a company logo, it's a company team, and it's just something every new application should be using. What I'm going to do is package everything up and provide this team as a NuGet package. So whenever someone creates an application, he can just say, well, install my Initag default team, and the team will be available in that application. So it's really just simple ASP.NET MVC 3 project, but what's interesting is that I have a NuGet folder in there. And basically, this NuGet folder follows the packaging conventions for NuGet. So I have a folder named lib, where you can put in assemblies that will be referenced in your projects. Now, in case of this team, I'm not distributing an assembly, so my lib folder will be empty. Well, actually, it contains a placeholder.txt file, but there's nothing in there. My contents directory also contains a placeholder, but in my content directory, I will put my master page, my layout view for Razor. I will put my CSS in there, I will put my images in there, so everything that's required to use this package. Next thing I have is a newspec file, which is basically an XML file where I provide all information that's required by NuGet to use this package. So you see I have an ID in there, so some identifier for this package. I have a version in there, so you can increase that every time you build the package, so people can also get updates of these packages afterwards. I have a project URL in there. I have, if you want to require a license acceptance, you can just say true, and people will have to click yes, I accept the license, which no one will read probably, but you can do it. You can also provide an icon URI, so if you want in the Package Explorer a nice icon, you can just put it in there. Now, who hates editing XML? I know I do. What? You all like XML?
Who likes editing XML?
It must be because you're still in a hangover phase, really. So I can also use some of the default NuGet tools available on CodePlex and just open my NewSpec file in a nice editor and edit it in there. So you will see my metadata is in there. I can edit it. I can provide more metadata. If I want some default information in there, I can just, in the content folder, add an existing file, add a new folder, whatever you want to do, and it will create that in the directory structure and also in my NuGet package definition. So I'm not going to go any deeper in this because I know Scott Hanselman is going to talk in the next talk about NuGet a lot on this, but you get the idea. Next thing I have, because if you want to package a NuGet file, you have the NuGet.exe to package your specification, but you don't want to do that by hand every time you want to build this package. So what I created is a build script, which I can use on my TFS build server, where I have some defaults, which you shouldn't care about. I'm just pointing it out to the path where my NuGet.exe is stored. I'm pointing it out to the root folder of my application. And what I can do is just build this MS build script, and it will package my application. So I can easily deploy this to my build server and have my build server package everything, and eventually distribute the package on a feed or on a file share somewhere. Really interesting to use. Now, I combined a lot of these in a giant MS build script, which not only packages my team, but it also packages my authentication and stuff like that. So I can just run this one, and all my packages will be created. So if I now go to my packages folder, you will see a lot of packages. And basically, this is just zip files containing everything I defined in my folder structure and everything I define in my metadata file. So what I can do is, if I rename one of these to .zip, for example, I can just open it, and you will see the same file contents are in there. Well, it's basically an open XML package, but you get the point. It's just a zip file where you can edit and add stuff and see what's going on inside these packages. Now, next to the team one, I have also one containing domain classes. So one interesting thing of this is if you want to distribute domain classes to your company, so for example, let's say at Initech you would create a TPS cover sheet report generator or something, you can have a class for that in your domain, and you can distribute it through NuGet as well. One important catch there is that you have to think about which classes belong together and which one am I going to keep separate, because I don't think you want to distribute your complete domain layer for your application for any application that's using the package. So what I have in here is a TPS report cover sheet class, which I'm just distributing as a NuGet package in my application. So you see I have validation on there, I have some properties, anything you would put on a domain object. I also have my NuGet folder again, where I have my content and lib folder. I have a different NuSpec file, so a different line of, well, a different ID, a different version, different package URI, different description, stuff like that. So just packaging this domain class as a different component. One interesting thing, though, is my package MS build script is a little bit different because it now also compiles my project, and all the outputs of my bin folder will be copied into the package lib folder. So every time I package this application, it will build a new version of it. Well, if there's new source code available, put it in the lib folder and make sure the package contains this assembly containing this one or two or five classes you want to distribute as a package. So far for the packaging part. Now, next thing you want to do is, well, you want to create your packages on your build server. And you can see I've just created build scripts in MS Build, but if you're using NAND or whatever build script you're using, you can just implement it in there as well, because all I'm doing is basically creating my folder structure for the NuGet package and calling NuGet.exe to do the actual packaging. I also want to host this thing, so I want to provide my company with a feed or a list of all the packages available. So what you can do is, well, install another package, NuGet Server, and that's a NuGet package in the official feed, which will create an OData feed containing all the packages that you're distributing within your company. Another probably much, much easier thing you can do is just create a folder on your local hard drive or on a network share, drop all the NuGet packages in there, and if you add that to your Visual Studio package manager settings, you can just use that as a source for the packages. And then next thing you can do is just use it. reference the feed in Visual Studio, and download and install and use all the components that you need within that package or within that application. And in my case, I'm assembling everything using MEF, but you don't have to. If you're using AutoFac or Ninject or you want to do the wiring yourself, you can perfectly do that as well. So let's see if we can build something like this. I talked about the TPS report cover sheet generator, the giant blue thing, which will be my application that I'll be building. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a domain layer in there, so add something from my company's domain layer. I'm going to add an authentication layer in there, so not anyone can create cover sheets, but only authenticated users can create that. And I'm also going to use my company-wide team. Now you see all the Lego bricks on there. Everything that's a Lego brick is a NuGet package. So what I'm doing is I'm building my application, and I'm going to reference my NuGet package TPS reports for my domain layer. I'm going to reference my account controller, but my account controller is solely using contracts. It's saying I want to use an iAuthentication service somewhere, but it's not providing the implementation there. So my iAuthentication service contract will live in this contracts NuGet package. Another thing I need, of course, is an implementation, something using my database or my Active Directory store or whatever I want to use as an authentication store. I should also have that available as a package. And then, of course, my team, I want every application to look the same, use the same team in the application. So that's what I'm going to build. Now, you also see that the wiring itself is a component. I have some components in there. For example, the account controller knows it requires MEF, and it will have a dependency on MEF, and it will automatically download MEFcontrib if you install the account controller in your application. So let's see if we can do this. Let's fire up my Visual Studio. I'm going to close some of them. There we go. And I'm going to create a new project, and this time not the default one, but just a blank one. Really, no content in there, empty project. Okay. And there will be no home controller in there, no account controller, no whatever controller. Just the jQuery scripts and the default ASP.NET MVC CSS, but nothing else. See, no views for it. Okay, ReSharper is eating my Zoomit. So what I'm going to do is, first of all, reference my package feed. And I have on my local hard drive, if I go to my packages, you see that everything I generated is a package in there. So just to be certain, I'm going to generate them again. Shouldn't take too long. And while it's doing that, I'm going to reference this folder within Visual Studio as a source for packages for NuGet. So let's go to the options. Let's say this is the initech packages source. I just put the folder in there, click add, and that's everything you need. So you see that this screen has the NuGet official package source, which starts with HTTP. It's a NuGet server available with a public source. But I also use a lot of NuGet package sources just on my local hard drive, so we can perfectly do it. Okay, next thing I'm going to do is add some packages. So what I'm going to do is, first of all, add a library package reference to an online package, which is online on my machine. Let's wait for it to complete. So to an online package, to my initech packages, and you will see that all the packages that were listed in my folder on my hard drive are now listed as NuGet packages in this feed. So let's see. I need a default theme there, so let's install that. You will see it has no dependencies on anything, so I can just install it. And what you can also do with NuGet is you can add PowerShell scripts to do some extra wiring. So for example, what I did is just import a message box and show a message box from a PowerShell script stating the last thing that I should do before installing this thing. So what I should do here is update my layout file and tell it to use initech layout instead of the default one for ASP.NET. So let's do that. And you will see that in my views folder, there's a new initech layout, which came from my team. And I should just modify this in my view starts like the dialog showed me or told me. So let's use initech layout there. So next thing I want to do is, use my domain. I want to create a TPS report cover sheet generator, so I need the domain classes for that. So again, let's add a library package reference online. And just for the speed of the demo, I'm going to install some more packages because it takes a while to load every time. Okay, let's go to the Initech packages. And let's say I need my domain classes, the TPS reports. Install. There we go. A new reference to my domain classes available for my application. I haven't built any code yet, but my application is building. Next thing I want to do is use MVC authentication. So what I'm going to do is search for Initech through all my feeds and install the MVC web authentication package as well. So I want users to authenticate on my application, and it seems that the new tooling messed something up, so could have thought that. Everyone on Twitter told me don't update your tooling before your demo, and I did, and this is what you get. So shouldn't search for MVC, I should search for MEF. Okay, let's cancel that one. So let's search for MEF contrib. Through all the packages, install this one. And basically, I'm doing this through this feed because since I couldn't search through all my feeds at once, normally the application would just download MVC3 and MEF contrib for it. But since my package manager is somehow screwed up a little, I should do it like this. So the next thing I can do is install my web MVC authentication, which will be a controller, a simple account controller, assembled in an assembly, which I'm using again in my application as a Lego brick. And you see it has two dependencies, the Initech authentication contracts and MEF contrib MVC3. So when I install this one, it will also install my necessary contracts for it. So let's install it. And again, I have a message box there telling me that, okay, you now have the contracts, but you should also install an implementation of those contracts in your application. So let's do that. I can see we have two. I can see we have the authentication forms. Let's install those. And then we have two membership providers. One membership provider, which is using a database, but there's also one a dummy one, which I am going to use for this demo, in which any user can log in, but it just provides the functionality for demo purposes. So let's install that one as well. And we're done. So you can see a lot of new references to all my Initech components. You can see a reference to MEF contrib and MEF contrib MVC3. So now all that's left is some coding. So let's add a home controller. Home controller, an empty controller. I will have an index action in there, and my index action, what it will do is just return a view with a new initech.components.domain TPS reports, TPS report cover sheet. Maybe I should just put this one in using there. So using that one. Let's build it, and it builds. And now I need a view for this. So I want to edit my TPS report cover sheet model, provide information to it, and post it back to my controller. So let's first add a view for it. I'm just going to create a strongly typed view, tell it to use my, TPS reports domain, and just a create template. Add, it will now generate my form using MVC scaffolding, so I can just use this to start with. So I haven't written a lot of code yet. Next thing I want to do, if someone posts the information back, I want to process that information. So what I'm going to do there is create another action result for when my post comes back, and I'm just going to provide it with a TPS report cover sheet named model. And then if my model state dot is valid, so if valid information comes in, no validation errors have occurred, I'm going to tell it to, return another view, which is named exactly like my model. And I'm going to provide it with a model. So I have a pre-built cover sheet that I can just print and put on my TPS reports. If my model state should be return. So if my model state is not valid, what I'm going to do is just return the view with my current model that was passed in. So let's run this. And you will see that my components are referenced. MEF is auto-wiring everything. And something is wrong there. Oh, right. Forgot to do something. I should tell MVC that this action is only valid for HTTP posts. So let's run it again. And you will see it's all wired up. My services are injected. My domain is there. My generated view is there. So I can now just add something in there. Click create, and my validation will fire. If I say test as a customer, I can just create it. There's my cover sheet, which is pretty cool, I think. Now, one thing, I want to authenticate users. I could just run this and go in here, fill out a TPS report cover sheet, and generate one. And I don't want anyone to do that without authenticated, without being authenticated. So what I'm going to do is just say authorize. You see there's no authentication controller in my controllers folder, but I'm going to run this one. And you will see that it will find my account controller, provide me with a login screen, and that's all because there's an account controller in some other assembly. MEF is searching my bin folder for it, and it's using that one as my authentication controller, and using all the services I had in the other packages available. So what I can now do is just log in with some fake ID because I used a dummy membership provider, so it wouldn't matter, and create my TPS report for some customer. There we go. So really interesting building your applications like that. Once you have your components, you can easily build an application and really drive reuse of components to a maximum level in your company. So with that, let's jump to conclusions. You can build an application like you would build a Lego set. So the only thing you require is some bricks, so some NuGet packages that you can assemble, and you will assemble them with some glue, MEF, MEFcontrib, any other IOC container. So if you're using AutoFac, for example, and you want to use AutoFac to wire everything together, you can do it. In fact, if you look at the official NuGet feed for almost any IOC container out there, there's an MVC3 application available. So you just shouldn't worry about building your own iDependency resolver. Just get one from NuGet. One thing that's important, structure is key. So if you're building application and building components, you should really think about putting everything in small reusable blocks. So if you think authentication is something different, well, I actually managed to get my authentication controller into three packages because I have my MVC part for that, I have my membership provider, and I have my forms authentication there. So you should think about really packaging everything in really, really small pieces that you can reuse. It's a bit of work in the beginning, but you will benefit at the end. But again, it's not a best practice architecture. It worked for one of our customers. I tend to do it in a smaller degree for my own custom projects. But it's interesting to do, and it works. It's really fun to build your applications like this because you don't have to worry about going to one website or going to some shared folder, building something, making sure all the references are there. NuGet will take care of that for you. And if you have an IOC container in place, the IOC container will take care of all the glue in there. So with that, are there some further information? So if you're a time traveler, you can go back to yesterday or the day before yesterday. And there's an interesting session, Deconstructing Orchards, which featured Orchard. And Orchard is actually built in small components. They have a lot of assemblies in there, all wired together using AutoFac. And well, basically, it's somewhat the same structure. But one interesting thing in Orchard is that Orchard is using NuGet as its internal plugin engine. So if you're installing a module in Orchard, you're actually using NuGet to fetch that module and install it inside of your NuGet application. So really interesting session. Then if you're really lazy and you have your components in place and you don't want to write a single line of code, make sure you watch Steve Sanderson's scaffolding session where he just generates almost everything in his application. Really interesting. And well, if you're not a time traveler, you can just go to the next session by Scott Hanselman and Phil Heck on more of the internals and use cases for NuGet. Really interesting. On the internet, NuGet.org and MEFcontrib also have a look at those. And with that, I'll take any questions. This is me having questions. Feel free to go to the mic or shout loud. Is it on?
There okay. We go. I'm sorry, not much for yelling this morning. You didn't go over how to package up routes inside of a package and bring those across, and that way you have multiple sets of routes.
Well, basically, if you structure your application with areas and you export every area registration using MEF, you can just wire up all your routing for your area inside a package. If you want to distribute your routes in a package, you can also do that, but it will require some small assembling of just getting all the objects implementing route information. But you can do it, yes. Any other questions?
What about loading with math loading things on demand, like dynamically, so only giving people capabilities? Maybe it's more of a civilized way, but only delivering that portion to the client.
Okay, so the idea is how would you go about distributing stuff on demand? So distributing assemblies and providing classes on demand and only providing users with the right information when they need it. You can do it, but you will have to break up your application in smaller components. But it's not like MEF will build up any objects for your application on runtime. It will only build up objects once they are needed. So what it will do is create an internal model of all the exports and imports that are available, but only assemble them when needed. So does that answer your question? Okay. Yes.
So would this be a better choice for area management or area package management than, say, portable area packages, et cetera?
So the question is, can I distribute my areas as packages? Well, I think portable areas from MVC Contrib are a good thing, and they work perfectly. And another option would be using this technique for distributing them. So you can use both. I don't think they're something you should combine, because portable areas are something on their own. But feel free to use either one of those. I think they're equally good.
So with the package manager, I assume that if you include that as an area, that when everything fires up on AppStart, it's going to look for area registration in there? Or is there any special wiring that you would have to do using MEF?
So there's no special something in there, but you can build it on your own. So just if you export anything registering areas, so let's say you have an IA register areas interface, you export that and you call that on AppStart. You should write a little bit of code, but you can do it, yes. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
I have a quick question on the dependency. How do you handle two packets using the same dependency but two, you know, conflict version?
So the question is, what do you do if you have two components implementing the
two
same?
Two conflict dependency, like for instance, you install a third packet using the same component, same dependency with another packet, and they have two different versions.
Well, that's an interesting question, and that's nothing that's going to be solved by using this architecture. So you should take care of that by yourself. Yes.
Any drawbacks to using MVVM instead of MVC, other than not having templates and such built in?
Any drawbacks on using MVVM? I haven't really been using MVVM there, but if you want to use this technique in, for example, Silverlight or whichever you're building application in, I think you can do it in there as well. So if you want to build Silverlight applications using these components, I think you can do it. Okay, with that, I think it's time for coffee. Thank you.